How? Welcome to a very special episode of the Fantasy Funk House, also known as the Fantasy Judd House. So, as always, my main man, Double Jerry. Jerry, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. Excited.
Is KJ going to be joining us?
She's napping right now. Worked out good this time. She just fell asleep about 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. I imagine she'll interrupt us mid-show.
Yeah, she'll make an appearance. Very special guest tonight. We got all the way from where it's always sunny in Philadelphia, Juddy Boy. Judd, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Good evening, Jerry, Matt. I'm glad to be here.
Judd, the, I don't want to say self-proclaimed, but definitely commonly known as the top fantasy villain in all of fantasy football, as anyone who's played in the league with him knows. How'd you do last week, Judd? I heard you had a pretty good week.
Yeah, I had a good week last week. I don't win with grace whatsoever, so it's been a while since I've been able to tout that I've won the league that we've all been together for 5 out of the last 7 years. And then one of my off years, I got second. So it's nice that you guys give me the platform that I can remind everyone of the absolute fire streak that I'm on.
And who did you lose to when you got second?
I don't remember.
It was me. It was me. At the height of our rivalry, so it was very satisfying.
Yeah,
right down my throat. Jerry, how did you do last week?
Another rough one. 2-3. I seem to be going 2-3 every week right now, and it's in different leagues, so it's not spreading out very good proportionally. I'm doing real good in my Dynasty League. Made some big trades the past couple weeks. Completed a trade with you today.
That was a good trade. Big help for me.
It was a nice trade. I got Kamara in the deal. You got Terry and a pick in a Dynasty League. I needed a running back this week, playing a big matchup against a guy in first. I'm in third. I have Eckler on bye. I made a trade a couple weeks ago for Taylor. So now I got Taylor, Kamara, Eckler. And I'm loaded at wide receiver, too. So I'm real excited for that league for many years to come.
Three-headed monster.
That's a nice setup. But, yeah, I'm starting to fall apart in other leagues. Bye weeks are hitting me hard. Injuries every week. I'm losing somebody important. It's just – it's bad. I'm fighting through the waiver wire. I spent all my fab money in my league. It's tough out there. It's a war zone every week.
It is.
Yeah. Hey, what do you do? What do you do Dynasty on? What platform do you use for Dynasty?
Sleeper.
How's that sponsor of the show?
It's my second year with it on Sleeper. It's the only league I have on it, but I like it.
I like Sleeper.
I'd say I'm liking it more this year now that I'm more used to it. There's...
I got 3 leagues on Sleeper. I like the app and the interface and everything, but the app crashes sometimes or isn't, I guess, doesn't crash, but it's like not responsive. So you'll sit there and fucking click, and it doesn't do anything, and I hate that. That's my only gripe, really, but I like it.
One thing that annoys me with Sleeper is, like, they're late on stuff. Like, your matchup's over, and it's Tuesday, and you go on the app, and you look at your matchup. It's still showing last week.
Yeah, it's a
like,
day late with that.
Tuesday morning, I want my next week's opponent.
I'm fucking done with that week, There's nothing worse, especially...
Why am I having to change the week here? Come on, guys.
Especially if you lose. If you lose and you got to fucking see that for like another day, that sucks so bad.
Just constantly reminded of your terrible choices.
Yeah. I did not have a great week. It was okay. I went 3-4, better than what I have been the last few weeks. Almost pulled a little sneaky. Judd, you'll probably enjoy this. So in Jerry's league, I was a top dog. I got a pretty good team. And all my guys were on the Eagles or the Bills or the Rams. So they're all on bye. So I could not field a whole team. But I had Kirk on bye. Oh, the Vikings were on bye too, yeah. So I had Kirk on bye. I had Dotson, Khalil Shakir, all 3 who I wanted to keep. I did not want to drop any of them to complete my team. So, was playing this guy, and he was not happy with me leaving my lineup open. So he thought I was like fucking with him. And I had whole intentions to just take the loss and keep my players and all this. So his team shit the bed. And I was only down like 20 some, like 22, I think. So I decided to just cut all three players and try to pick up scraps from the Bears and the Pats Monday night to beat them. And I came within 7 points. I still lost. And I fucking, I regret it wholeheartedly, but man, it would have been great if I would have pulled that off.
I love the effort, and the story would have been so worth it.
And he's still pissed at me for even doing it. Like, still pissed at me for trying. So he sabotaged my fab bids to try to get my players back. And it's like personal now. So it's very funny. He hasn't responded to the chat since I lost to him. I don't know what he has to be mad about. He fucking won, but
there's nothing better than a good fantasy football rivalry.
People get real emotionally invested in it. If you can't have fun, even if you lose, like, you probably shouldn't be playing.
I don't know. I hate losing. I hate losing in fantasy football.
Yeah, but does it affect your everyday life? I try not to let it.
To a point, it does, yes.
I try not to let it. It's hard, but, you know. So, yeah, 3-4, big win in Crook League. Judd, big loss to you. My team is so fucking bad. In Sanctuary, it's not much I can do at this point anyway. In your league, lost to Tim. I really like my team in that league, too. It sucks. Like, I think I have one of the better teams, and I just keep losing. I win a game, lose a game, win a game, and I fucking hate it. And it's all because Javonte Williams.
Yeah, he ruined your team.
Yeah. And AJ Dillon fucking sucks.
Those two have collectively ruined multiple of my teams. I paired those two together a lot, thinking big things, and it did not work out so well.
In Sanctuary, I have an embarrassingly low total.
Yeah,
so I've caught
some really, really positive variants here over the last 7 months.
You sure have, you know. Yeah. You got in the bunk house, and I decided I'm going to lock the door behind you, and I got to ask you about this, okay? We're in the Sanctuary. You brought it up. You got the second lowest points in the league, yet you're somehow in third place. The only person behind you is our my lovely co-host here, and he's in last place, so his works out. So yours does not. So how exactly did you sell your soul to the fantasy gods, and does third place constitute being in it?
So first question, it's the software. It's the proprietary software that allows me to maximize my points in matchups that way.
Very efficient.
It's efficient. Yeah. So I try not to waste high scores on teams like this week. So the second thing is, you're in eighth. In it.
Okay. Well, I made the playoffs every year, but you said I haven't been really in it, so I wasn't sure what constitutes in it.
So in it is top four.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
If you're playing for some money, you're in it, right?
Okay.
All right. Are you happy with your performance being just making the playoffs every year?
No, I'm not. I feel like I have the same team every year in that league. It's so annoying. I scrape by. It's always one of my worst leagues. I can't do the online Yahoo draft. And that also brings me to another point is when, you know, draft night comes, I get Derrick Henry in the first. I'm not super thrilled about it, but I'm like, okay, I'll take Henry.
I wouldn't be. Yeah.
So it comes back around, and now I'm faced with where do I go here? I don't feel confident with Henry. Devontae Adams looking me in the face, the obvious pick, right? He's right there. He's the easy one. But, you know, and Hassel will back me up with this. When you have a guy, he's your guy, right? Oh, and that debunks all rankings. So I took Devontae, and immediately – the time was running. I was about a minute in, and the chat, I see somebody pop up in the chat bitching about how long it's taking. My body's instantly filled with rage. I can't do anything but just click Javonte Adams, and my mind stops working. because it's like, I got to get to the chat and tell him to shut the fuck up as soon as possible. That was priority number one. Do you think that was proper draft etiquette, rushing me to my pick, formerly possibly ruining my entire season?
So if it ruined your entire season, absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it. And
I was expecting an apology.
No, you took forever. That was an insane amount of time for your second pick. It was a minute and a half, right? The only people using the full clock were you and Billy. So what's that tell you?
Yeah, that's not company you want to keep.
After that pick, it was 100% done out of spite, just to prove a point.
Yeah, I hated that too. I'm sitting here trying to fucking go to bed. I get up at 4:30 in the morning.
So you started Derrick Henry, Javonte.
Yeah.
I started running Swift back, and CeeDee.
Swift, CeeDee, man.
Yeah. Instead of...
Plenty of wide receivers out there. There's a billion of them.
I had pick 11, and Alex, who's in first place, had 12. And I started Swift and CeeDee, and he started Barkley and Diggs. So that's hard. That's hard to kind of... That'll keep you up at night.
Yeah, well, man... You're right. And then you followed that up with Pitts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was so mad that I took Pitts instead of C-Sut because I wanted Sutton. And Sutton fucking sucks anyway because Russ is terrible.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. How embarrassing.
The biggest cornball of all time.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. This is not a pro-Russ pod, that's for sure. We'll put it that way, so... All right, enough of that. Let's dig into the review week 7. Try to run through this pretty quick. Fairly exciting game, actually, on Thursday. Cardinals, Saints at Cardinals, actually. Andy Dalton, three picks in very inopportune times. Cardinals looked like the game was over. I went to bed at halftime because Thursdays suck. And all of a sudden, I wake up. And in my one dynasty that's tight end premium, I had to start Juwan Johnson, and he had 2 fucking touchdowns. So that was nice to wake up to. And I had to start Dalton because I had Kirk on by. So very deep rosters, to say the least, like 35 people. So it was a nice little treat in my best scoring week. But
he just got named the starter this week, too.
Yeah. Nuke?
That's QB2 from last week. Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
QB2.
Impressive.
With 3 picks.
QB3, QB3, Daniel Jones. QB4, Justin Fields.
Crazy.
QB6, Davis Mills. Just like everybody thought.
Yeah.
From the beginning. I wonder why I'm not doing good this year.
That's fucking wild. Saints are getting hard to watch, honestly. Like... I sat Olave in your league, Judd, strictly because of Byron Murphy and the work that he's been doing on number one receivers. And I don't even know if Murphy fucking played. Like, you didn't even see him on the field, really. He certainly wasn't shadowing Olave like he has been. It wouldn't have mattered anyway, but that pissed me off.
Olave is a stud.
Yeah, he's very good.
Oh, my God.
Very
good.
That's
a third-round pick next year in fantasy.
When did I get him?
Yeah, he's an absolute stud.
He's like on a trajectory like Jefferson almost. He's I don't know about that, but he's very good. I got him in that dynasty too. My God.
Yeah. He'll be their number one next year. I don't know what the fuck to think about him, Tom.
He's number one now, man.
Yeah, he is, but I mean he's definitely
getting a million
is.
Targets game too. It's great.
So that was a dumb game. Nuke looked pretty fresh, actually, which I hate that because Nate always ends up with him. So I hope that he pulls a hammy or something. I don't want him to get hurt. I don't wish harm on him. I just don't really want him to play.
We want him hurt.
Because he looked good. He looked very good. Browns at Ravens. Again, Ravens tried to fucking give away this team. This Ravens team is kind of terrible, and everybody thinks they're good, and I still don't get it. Lamar is very good. Andrews was hurt and then put up a 0, and they double covered him the entire game, and they barely beat the Browns, which is a fucking terrible defense right now. So the Gus bus got rolling. I expect some pretty good things out of Gus going forward. What about you guys?
Yeah, RB10 last week in PPR. I think he's got the backfield to himself. You're not going to see any more Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
Very little.
I think the same thing. I think Gus is the guy. That's weird. Like everything I've read, they're like, oh, stay away from Gus because it's a crowded backfield and all this stuff. And I'm like, I think he's the guy.
He looks fresh.
I think Drake's done. You're not going to, you might not see Dobbins for the rest of the year. He's on a 4 to 6 week, right? He's out 4 to 6 weeks. That puts you at the end. Yeah, that's the end of the fantasy regular season, at least.
It's annoying with guys like Dobbins who like fight with the media and like, I'm going to start week one, and then you're out until week four. And then when you come back, you still are hurt, obviously, and you fucking suck. So, and then you get hurt again.
Hold on,
and then, like, I'm not going to draft you because it's clear to me, you know, I'm just not a big Dobbins guy. Mostly because of the injury, but like, why be such a dick in the media when the guys are just trying to do their job and then you were fucking wrong the whole time?
But the person in the media he put in a body bag was Rappaport. So we are 100% here for that. Just Sunday when Rap Sheet comes out and says Pacheco is going to be the starting running back for the Chiefs. Everybody runs out and picks him up. He played 16 snaps.
Yeah, he had 8 touches.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Everybody, the fantasy community in general is just full on fading an NFL insider. And it is fantastic.
I kind of like Rap Sheet, like the guy, because he's such a wiener. Like, I like him for the wrong reasons, but his info is not good.
It's horrible. It's always wrong. Good.
Yeah. A similar reason why I don't read The Athletic anymore, because I've had too many bad instances with a lot of their beat guys, which just give fucking terrible information.
Not a sponsor of the show.
Bucks, yeah, not a sponsor. Not a fan at all. Bucks look terrible. 3 points on the Panthers. Who knew all the Panthers needed was just to get rid of that deadweight McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson, however you spell his name, and then they could just, you know, play up to their ability.
That's another one. Backfield, we'll talk about what it looks like without McCaffrey later. But, man, Bucks are struggling. I don't know.
Some of my buy-sell is going to come from the Panthers, so stay tuned.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Big stock exchange segment coming up here, folks. So, Falcons, we'll talk about them as well. Judd, we kind of had a little preemie on that earlier. Falcons lost bad to the Bengals. Bengals are on a roll right now. Joe Burrow throws for 1,000 yards every week. Start him with the utmost confidence going forward. Lions, 0 points going into the bye, 6 points coming out of the bye. Look terrible. And this Cowboys team, to me, isn't super impressive except for their defense. The Dak-up quarterback, as Judd called him, which I thoroughly enjoy. I say it every week on the podcast. I just don't think Dak is that good. So I don't know what other games people are watching, but he hasn't been good in a few years, and I don't know if that's injury-related or what. But Zeke looked pretty good, but he did bang up his knee, and he's not practicing now. So Zeke might be out for this week, maybe a couple more, depends. So might
that's
be Pollard's season.
Backfield.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd
be
like
interesting
to see
the Lions and the Fins this week in the dome with the highest point total on the slate, 51. It'll be interesting to see how they bounce back, if they bounce back.
Yeah, where's Dolphins, what happened to that offense? It's disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. Dolphins secondary
a lot of injuries.
Shredded right now, so definitely going to start Tua and Waddle this week. And Tyreek, obviously, but I got the Waddle to his stack, so I enjoy that. The Giants did it again, Jerry. Bad worst 6-1 team you've ever seen.
Yeah. What were the Steelers were the undefeated year? They were one of the worst teams too.
Yeah, they were. But. Yeah, Danny Dimes just managing the game. Barkley is basically their quarterback, playing running back. Jags have some flashes and then just disappear.
Yeah,
a lot of questions with your boy Christian Kirk there, Jerry, and his usage very puzzling. ETN seems to be the guy. I know Judd threw out an offer for him in Sankey this week. I heard all about that.
Tried to sneak it in there before the news cycle hit the mainstream.
Yeah, and Chris was not. Unfortunately. He was not pleased to get that offer. He's like, does he think that I'm an idiot?
Fortunately, wasn't able to pull it off. It was Jerry Jeudy for ETN.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as he made it out to be, but
it's not good. I'll tell you that much. Anyone on that Broncos offense.
If you don't know that Robinson got traded, it's a fine trade.
Yeah. Try to pull a little sneaky. I like
that. That's what I was hoping for. Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Colts, Matty Ice got the bench, so Sam Ellinger going to start. Loss to the Titans. I really thought the Colts could have pulled this one off because, again, this Titans team reminds me of the Ravens. They have a pretty decent record, but they just don't look very good playing. It's actually, the Titans are reminiscent of Judd's fantasy team in Sanctuary, where they're just skating by people.
He's the New York Giants of Sanctuary.
I wouldn't give him that much credit. I think he's the Tennessee Titans.
Maybe the Jets.
Come on, give me the Giants. Guys, Daniel Jones was QB4 last week.
Yeah.
So what was Saquon?
Probably top 10. He didn't have a huge week, but like 17 or 18 PPR points. Packers. Judd, what do you think about this Packers team?
They're horrible. Aaron Rodgers is the worst person on earth.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's a self-proclaimed genius, which are the worst kind.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident that he will not be playing NFL football next year. I don't think he'll get traded. I think he's just done. He talked about how basically him coming back next year is contingent on his receivers developing and they're not meshing whether they're developing or not. I heard a stat today. Romeo Doubs's A-dot on his receptions is like 3.5 yards, and on his incomplete passes to Doubs, it's like 16.5, which is insane to think about, that you can't throw it that far down the field to complete a pass. They keep trying.
What are you doing with Doubs? Lazard's likely out this week. Sammy Watkins is an old.
I think is Lazard going to be out? The shoulder, right?
So.
He's got a sling.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to play Doubs, I guess, just because somewhere somebody needs a bye week filler. He's nothing more than like flex play or like a very low end wide receiver 3, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got to stay on rosters.
Yeah. I'm not dumping him. No. There's too much upside because things could pop into place. I mean, they're not as bad as the Broncos, who just lost to the Jets 16-9 with the Grim Ripper throwing the ball. He looked a little bit better than Russ, Jerry. Are you hoping for the Ripper to get the nod again? I know Russ is starting. They already said that, but it's not looking good, man.
No, I'm completely defeated as a Broncos fan at this point. It's the coaching staff is just idiotic. They can't figure it out with Russ. Maybe it's starting to show that Pete Carroll's a little more important with Russ than we know. They figured out ways to scheme him better. When you get down, they bring him back. This coaching staff is not doing that. The defense has given up 6 touchdowns in 6 games. At what point do you like say, we're fucking doing our part, man? You know, you got to do something. You know, that's playing elite. Giving up 1 touchdown a game, you should be in your 2-4. It's not acceptable.
The human thumb that is Nathaniel Hackett. I did see a blurb today that said he's basically coaching for his job the next few weeks, and I'd just say it's about time, honestly. Yeah. He's ruined all the fantasy stock on everybody on that team pretty much at this point, except my boy Dulcich, Jerry, who looks as sharp as ever, I got to say. For a struggling quarterback, a seam ripper tight end like him is probably his best friend. So I like Dulcich quite a bit going forward. Like a low-end one, a high-end two, but that's gold right now in the fantasy season.
Yep.
Jets backfield, we'll talk about that quite a bit, and the Elijah Moore debacle. Texans lost to the Raiders 38-20. Josh Jacobs, the best running back in NFL history, apparently. Everybody saw this. 3 touchdowns a game, 700 yards. What else do you got to say? Hoping that
six sixth round fantasy running back on his contract year, playing for a likely shitty team at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
In a tough division. And this guy is going nuclear.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, it's wild. Their line's playing well.
Zero Carr, Josh Jacobs.
Carr hasn't thrown a 3-touchdown game since like week 2 of 2020. I heard that earlier this week, which is very interesting. That is a stat that kind of sticks with you. So I thought Carr, I expected big things out of Carr with the weaponry that he has, and he's just not doing it. So maybe he doesn't deserve that contract he got. All right, Seahawks beat the Chargers. This one was a coin flip for me. I had a feeling the Seahawks might pull it out, but I bet on the Chargers. I certainly lost. Herbert looks lost, speaking of lost. So I know he's got a lot of issues with his receivers. Big Mike's out for at least a month now. Baggy came back, looked terrible, ran like 10 routes or something like that. So we'll see what happens with the Chargers going forward. Geno looked sharp. DK was on a cart, but not a poop cart this time. So it seemed like, I don't know, definitely a multi-week injury. They say indefinitely right now. You think Metcalf's worth holding on to, Judd?
Yeah, I think you have to hold on to him. I saw something that Pete Carroll said, like he's probably not going to need surgery. And then everyone was like, wait, what? He might need surgery?
Yeah. That sounds like Pete Carroll.
Herbert, great name, great first name, better hair. Josh Palmer's going to smash here. And we'll get to him when you get to your smash segment.
I hope so. I've been jerking Palmer all year, and he has not really done much for me. So I would certainly like to see that.
He's your direct replacement for Mike Williams. He's going to get 100% of the routes.
I picked up DeAndre Carter in a league that I just had a bench spot to waste. So I'd be interested to see how that kind of works out, even though he basically plays the same position as Keenan Allen. Still worth exploring, I think, though. All right, Chiefs dominated the Niners, even in McCaffrey's debut. McCaffrey only played a couple series of first and second downs, but still looked good. So bigger things coming this week out of him. I know you're looking forward to that, Judd. So am I. Mahomes looked sharp as ever. Juju. What do you think of Juju, Judd?
Yeah, he's back. He's not just a tight end anymore. He was making some plays. Oh, there we go. Now we got some real analysis incoming.
Yeah, I like I like Juju a lot going forward. Scantling looks terrible. I think he looks awful. I don't know if it's like a chemistry thing or not familiar with the playbook, but he just doesn't seem to know what he's doing out there. And obviously, Sky Moore is kind of a lost cause for this year. So it's Kelsey and Juju and whatever he can get from Jerick McKinnon, basically. Yeah. So I'm very high on Juju going forward. Steelers lost to the Dolphins. A stupid game. Everybody thought the Dolphins were going to blow them out, and I just had a feeling the Steelers were going to win for some stupid reason because that's the kind of games that they win. Luckily, Miami could hold them off. Tua definitely had some rust. Looked good the first couple series, but definitely slowed down. Steelers defense did not touch him. There's no pass rush at all without TJ Watt. So I was, you know, happy to see that, but expected some more points on the board. Pickett picked off at the worst times, some rookie growing pains. Something about Pickett that I just do not care for whatsoever. just don't care for the guy. And then the Bears obviously beat the Patriots just like everybody thought, 33-14. So this is not a pro Justin Fields podcast. I shit on him every week, but I would say shout out Justin Fields. I thought you played a very good football game. The best I've ever seen him look, to be honest with you. His numbers weren't amazing, but took care of the football, a lot of rushing yards, and found the best player in the field in Khalil Herbert. Shout out to one of our sponsors, Napoli's Pizzeria. Dubois, Pennsylvania. Judd, have you ever been to Napoli's before? It is a delightful establishment.
I think I was, and I'm sure it was delicious.
Yeah, it was. When your family is real hungry, eat a Napoli's. Special steak delivery from your friends in Napoli's.
happy in Nepalese. You'll be happy in Nepalese. You'll be happy in Nepalese. Get some sweetheart wings and some pepperoni when you're real hungry with your family. Eat in Nepalese. Stromboli, calzone, get some Italian cuisine in Nepalese.
Big Napoli's guys on this pod, that's for sure. I always ask the guest what their favorite thing is to get at Napoli's if they've been there. John, you're probably not familiar with what you had if you were there. Jerry, what is your favorite thing? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
It's a good question. I'm a big special steak guy.
Yeah.
That's nice, a good it's one. A great sub.
Yeah, they have good hoags, that's for sure.
I love all their pizzas, too.
Yeah. Pizza's good. Usually on Thanksgiving, Weber will give me a call, and like in the evening after, you know, you do family dinner and stuff, I'll go in and help him make dough, and then he'll give me a bunch to take home. It's a nice little evening there.
Like old tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we'll get into the Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange. Very popular segment. New one this year. So, Judd, your featured guest of the week, why don't you get us started?
All right. Where do you want me to start? We buying or selling first?
Bring something up and let us know. We'll get right into it. You could buy, you could sell, or you know, we could do both.
I'm selling Lenny. Lombardi Lenny, playoff Lenny, Super Bowl Lenny, fat Lenny. I'm selling him. Everybody, I don't know if we forgot that he was cut by the Jaguars, and the only reason anyone liked him because he had the three down plus goal line plus pass catching role from a check down quarterback. Now Rashad White's playing 50% of the snaps almost. He looks much more explosive. I'm not a film guy, but he's getting more opportunities. So it's cutting into the opportunity that we thought we had with this player that maybe is not good and now is old.
Yeah.
He is old.
He might have been good at one time, but he's not anymore. I'm with you on that.
I'm not selling him just yet. He still is like second in the league in carries. So he's getting a ton of work. He's still getting a lot of catches too. White's definitely cutting into it now, but he hasn't been that efficient actually, if you look at his numbers, but I still think he's probably going to get more and more work as the year goes on. So I have both of them on my team, so I'm less worried about it. But if you're just a Lenny owner exclusively, it's definitely a concern.
Who would you rather have right now?
Right now, I'd rather have Lenny.
Right now, you'd rather have Lenny for the rest of the season?
That's tough. I probably would still go Lenny, yes.
Lenny, okay. He's running back 6 on the year, so.
Yeah. I just don't think he's going to be fade away into nothingness. They won't let him do that unless injury or something happens. And I think Tom likes him, so he's his old brother, you know, his old man brother out there. They walk out on crutches together, so.
The big thing that stands out to me is the quote from Todd Bowles saying that maybe some of these old guys can't really hack it anymore. And I certainly don't think that was a shot at Brady. I think that was a shot at some of these other guys, maybe a Julio Jones, certainly a Lenny. So I think that we'll see more and more White as the season goes on. But I do think that the Bucs are going to figure it out, and once they do, Lenny's not going to get however many touches a game that he has been getting. I think it'll be a little more pass-heavy, and Rashad White's pretty good in pass pro. Not that Lenny isn't, but like you said, Judd, I think White's quite a bit more explosive, and he's obviously the future. So I don't think Tom probably plays past this year with the growing pains that he's had with this team, but Rashad White's certainly the future, and I think that they're going to want to get him some touches. Yeah. Jerry, what do you got for us?
I'm going to do like the Panthers backfield. Let's buy one and sell one. You got Chuba back there, Chuba, and you got Foreman. Foreman had a really good game. He had a big run, touchdown. Chuba, I think, got banged up a little bit, but he seemed to be the primary back. Who do you like in this terrible offense?
Who just blew out the Bucs?
That's true. You said they got rid of the dead weight. Now we got these two elite running backs. Which one do we want to roll with?
It's tough for me because they both, I thought they both looked pretty good. Foreman looked great on his big scamper that he had. He had over 100 yards. Chuba had like 9 for 68 and a tut. So you can't expect them to perform like that every week. I would probably give the edge to Foreman at this point, but I would be interested in picking up both of them just based on I like Chuba because he's got the passing role and the team's bad and they're going to be down. That's the big thing with Chuba for me. But
yeah,
I think Foreman is the better running back, period.
Is there a better poster for running backs don't matter than this?
Exactly.
You know, they trade away Christian McCaffrey and then they beat the Bucks with two outlier performances from running backs off the street. It's just like, it doesn't matter.
That's the gospel.
These guys are, they're just like guys, you know?
Yeah, they are guys.
They are guys.
True. Which one you buying? Which one you selling?
Between the two of them, honestly, neither. I don't know if I want either of them on any of my teams. I think Matt, what you said, you're going to get a little bit more pass catching chops from Chuba if he plays this week. If one of them's out, then I'd be interested. Is a RB2. Yeah. But if they're both healthy, splitting reps on a team that's likely not very good, probably out on both.
Yeah. I lean towards Foreman just because I think he's a better runner, but I don't think he's more than a deep flex play, you know, or, you know, bye week fill-in or something.
I got forced into Chuba this week because Brees went down, and I got Eckler on bye, and that's a short bench. It's two quarterback league, so running backs are – it's a running back – I don't want to say this. Scoring leans towards the running backs rather than receivers. Even though it's PPR, but
love running backs.
I got Barkley and Eckler, so I like that.
The only person that loves running backs more than you two is Tim Montana.
Tim loves running backs.
He's really a big does. Fan for sure. He always promotes them every year.
Always. All right. My topic is going to be one of them. This Jets backfield. So Breece Hall went down. Let's pour one out for Breece. That one's tough to swallow. He looked unbelievable. Was probably the reason why the Jets are doing this good. That would be my only argument for running backs don't matter. I still think that, you can get some production out of Carter or whatever, but the Jets were good, and Zach Wilson isn't good. I don't think that any of their receivers are particularly that good. Like right now, Elijah Moore is all pissed off that he didn't get targeted. Very selfish, by the way. I like Elijah Moore, but you're a rookie, or you're a second-year player. You had a pretty good rookie season. Your team's winning, and you're throwing a shit fit because you didn't get targeted 1 week. Like 2 weeks ago, you had 8 targets. Like, this shit happens to everybody. So I thought that was pretty selfish. They were comparing Zach Wilson to like Taysom Hill and Tebow today, which I think is funny because he just doesn't throw the ball at all. They try to run as much as possible. I think a lot of these Jets wins are somewhat of a fluke, but I do believe in Robert Saleh. I think he's a really good coach. But
yeah,
who do you guys like? Do you like Jim Robb? Do you like Carter? Everyone was jerking Carter, and then they made the trade for Jim Robb right off the bat. Personally, I think Carter will be great this week, maybe another week until Robinson gets familiar with the playbook. But I think Robinson's a superior talent, personally.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Carter knows the playbook. This week, he's probably the safer play. They'll use him more because he's familiar. Once old Jimmy gets hold of that playbook and runs it through his skull, he'll take over eventually.
He'll be the early down runner. And then, you'll see Carter catching the ball. Long down and distance. Yes. I think between the two of them, I'm preferring, sounds like you guys are too, Robinson for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of a low volume offense. They're not going to score a lot of touchdowns. They just don't run plays. They just don't get first downs, really. Right. Somehow they're winning. But
yeah, Yeah, I'm not confident in that team the rest of the year, really.
Yeah. They East Rutherford, the Meadowlands, has got the same proprietary software that I got going on.
Yeah, they must.
Between the two of them.
So, yeah, there's definitely something going on there.
This is the first time in, I think they said, like, 20 years that the Giants and Jets both were, like, you know, very high up in the playoff hunt. So,
not last.
Interesting. Yeah, I certainly don't think it continues, but, you know, we'll enjoy the ride here. Judd, you got another one for us?
Yeah, I got a deeper one. So we're talking 14 team leagues, deep benches, maybe dynasty stuff. It's Terrace Marshall with Carolina. This guy was an analytics darling coming out, an early declare from LSU, played with Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, was overshadowed there, but still produced. Came into third round pick, maybe.
Yeah.
He came into a broken offense with a dolt of a head coach. Robbie Anderson's gone. Christian McCaffrey's gone. He's going to have a ton of targets available for him. We don't know if he's good or not. And he might just not be good, right? He might not be good at NFL wide receiver football. But I think he's got the opportunity, and you'll see it here the rest of the way. But he's not, you know, an 18, 10 team, 12 team league. It's short benches. It's not worth it. But I'm grabbing him in deep dynasty leagues.
Yeah, I liked Marshall coming out for a lot of the reasons that you said. I didn't see what I was hoping to see last year, but to your point, I think that Matt Rhule was terrible, and I think that had probably a good amount to do with it, and I think a good amount to do with why the Panthers were so bad in general. I don't think it's a secret that – I think them beating the Bucs so badly last week had a lot more to do with Matt Rhule being gone than Christian McCaffrey. I would venture to say that a lot of people would feel that way. I am definitely a show-me kind of guy, so I'd like to see it. Just in the NFL, he doesn't really pass the eye test for me right now, even though he came out of wide receiver U. And I thought that – I kind of think that Shai Smith has a little bit of pop there. And then you got Chenault, who is, you know, underperformed, but a nice gadget guy. They got some playmakers. Marshall should be, you know, the number two going forward, I would think. But, you know.
Marshall iced him last weekend. He played 43 out of the 50 snaps. Shai Smith was at 25. So I think he's already passed him. I think. But, yeah, that's a one-week sample.
That sounds like he passed him. So I'll agree with you there. Definitely somebody to keep on the radar.
Playing all the snaps, basically.
Yeah. Wide receiver two with that pedigree on a team that will be down. If there's competent quarterback play, that could pay off for sure, I think.
Which us three might go play quarterback for the Panthers, potentially.
You never know.
We could easily.
Jerry, you got one for us?
Yeah. What about, I don't know if so much buy or sell, but just the news of Sam Ellinger starting for the Colts. What's this do for all the offensive weapons there? Pittman, Taylor, Pierce, do these guys all see downgrades? Does Taylor see more touches? What do you think this does to that team?
I have a good take on this. John, I'm going to throw this over to you, though. Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it can hurt those guys, especially. Matt Ryan's like a million old and decrepit, so I don't think it can hurt those two, and they are going to run the piss out of Jonathan Taylor now.
Yeah.
He might get 30, 35 touches a game.
So Ellinger, didn't know a ton about him, did a little digging. He's definitely a scrambler, which is the polar opposite of Matt Ryan. Some arm strength questions, but kind of like an escape the pocket artist, like doesn't want to sit in the pocket, wants to get out and get moving. So that'll kind of lean towards a lot of broken plays, which I think lends itself pretty well to Michael Pittman. Cause he's very, very good at that. Paris Campbell has really excelled the past 2 weeks. Al Pierce, who was my smash that I'll take a hit on. He didn't fare that well last week. he's got most of the down the field stuff. So there's room for those receivers. You know, to your point, Judd, I don't think they're going to throw nearly as much, but the team's still going to be down because I don't think it's a very good team. So we'll see what he has. I think that the big hit that Taylor is going to take is the catches, because those type of quarterbacks don't usually do a lot of dump-offs, and Matt Ryan is the exact quarterback that would do a lot of dump-offs to the running back. So high hopes for Pittman. I have a lot of shares with him, but logically it makes sense on just those broken plays outside of the pocket for him following the quarterback to the sideline. And Paris Campbell, you know, we'll see if that continues. I think that's – I've liked Paris Campbell, but he's perennially – done nothing or been hurt or whatever. So I don't have faith that this will continue. But, yeah, I mean, I'm anxious to see what Ellinger can do. Two quarterback league, Billy grabbed him because he had Matt Ryan. And I was talking to Crook, the commissioner, this morning. I said, listen, it doesn't matter who that quarterback was. He was on the team of Billy's guy that got benched or got hurt. That's who he's going to take. It could be Paxton Lynch. It could be whoever. That's the guy that Billy wants just because he plays for the same team. He's such a creature of habit. He's so predictable. It's amazing.
He likes that Colts offense.
Yeah. He likes what he likes, you know?
For a man that rosters Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
And Kirk Cousins.
And Kyle Cousins.
He had all three of them. All right. Judd, this question more for you because me and Jerry talked about it today. So guys that we invested in early in the year draft-wise and have gotten hurt, and then we basically dropped them and then picked up each other's players. So Treylon Burks and Jahan Dotson, rest of season. What do you think their outlook is? Fantasy wise, and when do you think either of them will be back on the field?
Dotson before Burks, right? Because I think he's on IR. Dotson, I think, just has a hammy.
Yeah, Dotson re-injured his hammy in practice last week after he was out for like 2 weeks with it, and Burks is able to start practicing next week, I believe.
Okay, and Burks has a little bit. I don't know. Dotson was drafted pretty. Burks has a little more draft capital, less target competition. Similar offenses. Both quarterbacks are kind of horrible, right? I think rest of the season though, I'm taking Burks, especially for the fantasy playoff run.
I think they're close, but I think I lean a tad towards Dotson. But the hammy scares me. There's no sign of when Burks is like, there's been no update in like 3 weeks. So that scares me a little bit, but no news could be good news. But the Dotson hammy scares me. It sounds like he'll be out for this week and maybe another week. And he showed a lot of big flashes. I liked him quite a bit. And he produced with Wentz. And now he's got to be with a whole nother quarterback. So that worries me a little bit, but they're very close. Jerry, I'm assuming you prefer Dotson because you grabbed him over Burks.
Yeah, I drafted Burks, dropped him earlier in the year.
Yeah,
I don't know. Dotson's I've seen more out of him already, and I don't know. Rest of year though, I could see them being pretty even. Burks could be the guy there towards the end of the year, so we'll see.
Yeah, which
they could both be terrible too.
Yeah, which one has the blow up opportunity or chance, you think?
I think Burks has a higher ceiling, personally, because Robert Woods looks rough, in my opinion.
There's less competition there.
Yeah. I'm a big Robert Woods guy, but he looks toasted. He looked okay at the beginning of the year. You know, as it kind of went on, he looks like dust to me. Dotson's got a lot more competition for targets.
Tons more.
We know how Heinicke and Scary Terry play well together, and then you got Curtis Samuel to worry about. You got Gippy and just the whole backfield.
Robinson.
Literally in Tennessee, you have Derrick Henry, and that's it. And he's catching maybe 3 or 4 balls a game. Also, I think in Tennessee's favor is that they're winning games, so they're going to want to compete. They're going to want to try to take this year as far as they can. They're going to want to try to show that the A.J. Brown trade wasn't a mistake. Washington, I think might save face for next year when they got a young, sexy cube coming in. But that's kind of my logic with it. But I do like them both. And if Dotson can get back on the field quick and get acclimated again, I think he could be dangerous.
I got one more. I got one more. We're burying the lead here. ETN. Hammer time.
Yeah.
It's an absolute hammer time for this dude.
Yeah.
This is his rookie year, essentially, right? He's playing with his college quarterback with a coach that is not an idiot.
Yeah.
Like they had last year. He is, and his competition for touches is a guy named Snoop Connor. Cool name, but I don't know. He's like a probably just a guy.
Don't forget about Jermichael McHasty.
Oh yeah, that guy. Right? ETN's got it. He's got the full 3-down workload. And they're good. They're good. The Jaguars are gonna fuck around and win some games, and he's gonna touch the ball 20-25 times, and the best part of him, he catches passes, right? Yeah. He's like a wide receiver. He is a wide receiver.
He's put three good games together back to back. He had 71 yards, 86 yards, and then 114 rushing yards. And now Jim Robb's out of the way, man. He's gonna go nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
Chris has got to trade in the ETN.
He played 80% of the snaps in the week 7 loss to the Giants.
You know, Judd, you stole my boy K9 off me in your league, and it's hard for me to live that down. One, because he's the man, and two, because just how good he's playing. But a nice little kind of consolation was getting ETN there, so I was pleased about that. Certainly not comparing the two, because I'd rather have Walker, but Walker's been my smash the past 2 weeks, and it certainly paid off. I might make it 3 in a row.
You're not smashing him again.
I might make it 3 in a row. He's so fucking good. He is so fucking good at football. He will be a first-round pick next year, unless something happens, in my opinion. But
by you.
I'll take him first round, no doubt about it, man. With Pete Carroll, the good running back. I mean, I don't even think Chris Carson was a very good running back, and he was still getting 20 carries a game and rushing for 1,000 yards. So, all right, that'll conclude. But, yes, ETN, rocket to the moon, probably a league winner.
Bye, bye.
If you bought low, congratulations, because you probably won your league, unless, you know, foreseeable, unforeseen circumstances. So, all right, we're going to get into the smash section of the show, brought to you by featured sponsor, Burger Daddy Food Truck. No real updates. I believe 10/29, which would be this Saturday. Yes, this Saturday. They'll be at Winery at Wilcox, Dubois, Pennsylvania. Go down and get a smash burger. Delicious, delicious meal. So
this is the final one of the season.
Final one, yeah. If you're anywhere around the Dubois area, drop a
gotta get there.
Go get a smash burger. Yeah.
It sounds Love like my shit. Wife and I will be making the 5.5-hour trip.
You should.
It'll be worth it. Yeah.
Judd, you probably met Brandon Wagner.
I'm sure we probably crossed paths.
I think you have.
Point.
Yeah, it's his food truck. Unbelievable burgers. You know, we like to shout him out as much as possible. He helps out the show. Go tell him the champ sent you. You get $1 off any food item. And what a deal that is. So we'll get into the smashes from last week. So we had SeanBenet Ramsey on last week. I know he had ETN. So rocket to the moon on ETN.
yep.
Matt Ryan. So he picked up Matt Ryan off waivers, immediately made him a smash. Terrible game and lost his job. So, Sean, we can't give you that one.
The ultimate non-smash we've ever seen. Not only did he not smash, but he lost his job in the process.
And maybe we'll never play again. You might not see him again.
That's why, just because of that. Yeah. So, trying to remember what his other smash was. Oh, he had Njoku. He had a great game before hurting that ankle, but Njoku will be out at least, 3 to 6 weeks, high ankle sprain. That sucks. He was having a great...
Yeah, he was having his best year.
Yeah, he's having a great year. And wide receiver, Sean had T. Higgins. So let me see how T. did
last week. How'd he do? You have him, Judd House.
Yeah, he was, I think he was 13 PPR points or something.
Yeah, 14. He had
14.
5 for 93. So that's pretty good. So the smash threshold is 15 points for receiver, 15 for running back, 25 for quarterback, and 12 for tight end. So if you don't meet those, you don't get a smash. Sean, you got, I think Njoku only had 14. So you'll get a smash there. That's a smash for you, Sean. 2 out of 4, average as it could be, just like you are, Sean. And better than what your fantasy team is. We'll just put it that way. So yeah, my smashes of last week, we had Mac Prescott, terrible. Double smash with you, Jerry. 207 yards. It was
risky. You knew we were taking a risk.
I thought it was just a Cooper Rush with a nice tan out there playing. He did not look very good at all. Running back, I had K9 Ken Walker, 168 and 2 tuts. That is light work for Mr. Walker. Wide receiver, not very good. Al Pierce, 3 for 37. Kittle, big smash, 6 for 98 and a tut. So 2 out of 4 for me, but the two that I did have were mega smashes. Jerry, how about you?
We had the double smash on Dak, 14 fantasy points, no go there. Running back, I had Mostert. He was running back 7 on the week. He ran for 79 and caught 4 for 30 in a tut. So he had 20 fantasy points, smash there. Also took the risk of Hopkins on his first game back, and he was another smash. Just as I said, with Brown out of the lineup, he took up all the targets. He went 10 for 103 on 14 targets, 20 points. Another smash there. And then Tonyan, he went 3 for 32, just 6 points. Packers look rough. Not a smash there. So 2 for 4.
Seems to be the standard. All right. So we'll start off the smashes for week 8 here. Judd, why don't you start us off at quarterback?
Is Malik Willis playing?
I don't think so, but that'd be cool. Yeah.
I think Malik Willis, if he's playing, he's my... Since he's questionable, I'm going to go with Tua in the highest total game of the week in the dome, playing against a horrible defense. He's my quarterback for the week.
I love it.
I'm also going to take Tua, so I'll jump in and double smash it.
Double smash.
Same thing. Oh, Kingsley is pissed. But they play the Lions.
Hopefully they can keep Tua's brain inside his head. And
yes, that's the only thing that's scary with him, but they're inside the dome. He's not showing any signs of issues of that concussion. He looks good.
No, I think he looks
good. The Lions are just reeling right now. Yeah. So
I thought it was funny though. You know how many Steeler fans, I already mentioned on here, so many Steeler fans texted me when Tua got hurt in the Bengals game, and they're like, you know, bitching about how the Dolphins should have never let him play and everything, but there was no problem with Pickett getting fucking blasted and then coming in the next week. Like, that was perfectly fine. Nobody had any problems with that. It was a very responsible thing to do. I'm sick of this.
It wasn't on primetime. That's the, you know, if Kenny Pickett would have been on primetime, that's where true. Everybody's watching him,
yeah,
he would have been out.
I think you're right there. I think you're right.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble with this concussion thing.
Yeah. Me and Crook were talking about it quite a bit because they're going to start pulling guys for no reason, just like they did with the Sun God last week. And he didn't even have a concussion. And the week before, the week that Teddy Bridgewater was supposed to start for Tua, and they said he had a concussion, he did not have a concussion. So some eye in the sky saw him like stumble, and then he's like, "Yep, that's it. You're not allowed to play." So this is going to be a real problem for fantasy football.
We're going to see lots of it.
I don't think there's anything we can really do about it. The unfortunate thing, obviously, like, player health is paramount, but we care about our teams. So, like, let us have some fun.
Yeah, we're the managers of the team, so yeah. We make the calls, actually. So.
I don't know a way around it. Whatever. My QB smash of the week is going to be old Kirky. Kirk Cousins against Arizona. So we saw Dalton shred him last week. I think Kirk gets it done here at home in a good matchup coming off the bye with a fresh JJ and company. And I think maybe even Big Irv gets in the end zone this week.
Could see that.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's so. My...
Well, easy there, easy.
Oh. I'm sorry, I can't jump the gun. I'm excited.
All right, so we're going to snake back here. I'm going to start us off at running back. And a guy that's getting a ton of work but underperforming. He had a good game last week, not a great game, on one of the most ascending offenses in the league, in a pretty good matchup this week against probably the worst running defense that there is, and it's going to be Joe Mixon in prime time against Cleveland, and he's going to have, I think he goes for like 150 maybe. I think he gets a ton of work, 30 carries or so, maybe two tutters. Yeah, maybe two tutters, but I think he goes nuclear, and Mixon gets it done on Monday night. Jerry?
That's a good one. I'm going to go with the guy that's been on an absolute tear, Josh Jacobs. Past 4 weeks in fantasy, he's put up 14, 34, 29, and 36. Those are like QB numbers. They get New Orleans this week. I don't think he's going to slow down any. He's locked in as the RB1 right now.
Eno just shredded him, New
loving
Orleans.
Life.
Yeah.
He was definitely a guy I'm not touching no matter what.
And nobody wanted Josh Jacobs. I don't care how much that you defend. Nobody wanted him. The Raiders didn't even want him. So how could anybody?
I don't think it's not going to continue. But he's hot right now, so play the hot hand.
We'll see. I'm grabbing Zamir White. You never know, Judd. Give us the running back.
Not a bad person to hot. The guy I'm going to take this week is a guy I'm going to watch in person shove it down my throat here in Philadelphia against the Steelers. Miles Sanders.
Ooh.
The Eagles are going to go up. And they're just not going to need Jalen Hurts. And they're going to hand the ball off to Miles Sanders. And he's going to shove it down the Steelers' throat over and over and over again.
I would like that. I have a nice Miles share. I only am on one team, but it's my best team. So I need that to continue. Yeah. I actually have too many Eagles because they can't all hit, which sucks. But I got A.J. Brown, Goddard, and Miles Sanders. It's probably why I've been doing so good. But, I think that's
working out.
Yeah, you see what Mostert did to him last week. Mostert still got a little bit of juice, but Sanders certainly is the superior talent at this point. All right,
If you talk to the locals here, the Eagles have already won the Super Bowl. So
yeah, I bet. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Our guest last week's an Eagles fan, and I wanted him to go off on the Eagles, and he played it a little conservative. You know, he didn't want to jinx them or anything, so... We'll see how that goes. Judd, why don't you start us off with a receiver?
Wide receiver, I think Tua's going to need to get pushed in that game. I think that game's going to blow out. It's going to win somebody $1 million. It's going to be the Sun God coming back from his fake concussion.
Nice.
Ross St. Brown.
That's
he's going to smash.
That secondary in Miami is in pieces right now. We'll see. I don't think Xavier Howard will be all over him. He'll get some of it. And Howard's actually looked pretty good last week. Not very good the weeks before, but they just lost Jones. And, they're down bad right now in secondary. So I think that's great. Jerry?
I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett. He's quietly having a really good season. He's wide receiver 14 on the year. His target share skyrocketed. Once Metcalf, when he got carted off, his target share went through the roof, as expected. If DK misses any time, I think Lockett's production will increase even more. I think he's going to get a ton of targets. Seahawks are looking good. They play the Giants this week, so they're going to need to air it out and try and keep up with that Giants team.
It's amazing how, if you would ask me what I thought about a Giants-Seahawks matchup, I would have barfed in my mouth a little bit, but, like, I'm excited to watch that game. I am genuinely excited to watch them play.
If you fell into drafting Josh Jacobs and Tyler Lockett, you're winning your league.
Yeah.
You could have
unless you royally fucked up the rest of your draft, like drafting Najee Harris in the first, then... my receiver is somebody that I think will probably dominate the Steelers as well, Devonta Smith. So Smith's been, you know, he's one of three Batmen on their team. He's the Slim Reaper, as they call him, because Kevin Durant didn't like the nickname, apparently, but I think it's a great nickname. So that's Devonta Smith now. Was pretty excited about Smith coming in, laid a goose egg week one. People were worried. I was glad I didn't, you know, have any shares of him. Now he's rounding into form. I think him and AJ really play well off each other. There's so many weapons on this Eagles team. AJ's always going to get the attention. Devonta runs a ton of routes, mostly along the sidelines, but, you know, Hurts, he can get it done with either one of them. So I think they're going to try to take AJ away, and I think Devonta Smith has. Not like an amazing game because, like you said, Judd, I think they are going to run the ball quite a bit with the best line in football and probably going to set Robert Quinn, newly acquired defensive end, to take Pickett's head off. So I think
set him loose.
Yeah, I think Smith ends up with 6 catches for 69 and a tutter.
666, huh?
Yep. And tight end of the week, I have somebody who's been smashed on the pod a few times, Tyler Higbee. So I like Higbee coming back. He's getting a ton of targets. It can't all go to Cup. Van Jefferson, I think, is cleared to practice this week. They designated him for return, so he's probably not going to play this week, but he will be soon. So I think this is going to be one of the last big Higbee weeks. He's playing San Francisco. Last time they played, he had 17 points, 14 targets, 10 receptions, 73 yards. So I like Higbee to repeat that, maybe not the 14 targets, but I think he'll get 5-6 passes and, you know, probably fall into the end zone here. So, Tyler Higbee, smash it up, Jerry.
Going back to the guy we were big on coming into the season, into the funk house.
You're
here.
Doing
it's
it.
Not working out. Schultz is coming off his biggest game of the year, which isn't saying much.
It's not saying much, yeah.
And he went 5-for-5 for 49. But I think he's finally recovering from that injury, and Dak definitely likes him. So I think we'll see those targets increase. Gallup is terrible. He barely saw any targets. He's yet to be relevant from what I've seen. So I do like Schultz being the safety blanket for Dak.
You want to piss off Nate? Just talk about how bad Michael Gallup is, because he fucking loves him. He thinks he's God's gift to football. I don't get it. I realize he plays for the Cowboys, but, like, come on.
What's he done?
Nothing. He's had some good games in years past. Really but
That team could really use Will Fuller.
Yeah.
USB. Yeah.
They could use Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
All right, Judd, bring us home on a tight end.
I spoke out of turn earlier. It's Big Irv for me. Irv Smith this week with the Vikings is going to get in the box. It's the only way to score tight end points unless you're Kelce or Andrews. So yeah. I think he'll catch a ball and fall into the end zone. They run a lot of plays around the goal line for him.
They do. I've noticed that, yeah. Yeah. And
I think that's going to be a sneaky shootout, too.
It could. I like Minnesota. They're a sneaky good team, playing some decent defense, just getting it done, so I like that. A lot of weapons. All right. Those are the smash picks of the week. Tune in next week as we reveal how we did and pick some more smashes. We got a great guest next week, Brandon Wagner of Burger Daddy Food Truck, gracing us with his presence. Very excited to have him on, and might get another special guest on. We'll see. But Brandon's locked in. So without further ado, Juddy boy, appreciate you coming on. Had a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah,
definitely.
Thanks for having me. This was a good time. Yeah.
Definitely do it again sometime. Maybe later in the year.
Have me back when we go 4-for-4 on smashes.
Hey. Yeah. I don't know if 4-for-4 has ever been done. That'd be awesome. Yeah, we'll have to go back and look. And for Jerry and KJ, I'm Matty Funkhauser. We'll see you next week. We're gonna get you off the motherfucker.
right.